There are some terms in the Bible that is described in unusual ways. Even if they were applied as figures of speech, yet it makes us wonder why God put them that way. Consider the following verses. 1 Chronicles 16:29. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, bring an offering, and come before him, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. 2 Chronicles 20:21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 29:2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 96:9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before him, all the earth. Why does the Bible describe holiness as beautiful? The Hebrew word, pronounced kodesh, is defined by Strong as a sacred place or thing, rarely abstractly sanctity, dash consecrated, thing, dedicated, thing, hallowed, thing, holiness, most, holy, day, portion, thing, saint, sanctuary. God's holiness is beautiful because it's the revelation of God's unique excellence. The idea of holiness brings to mind the word sanctification, being set apart. Thus, we understand our spiritual condition can either be separated from God, or separated from sin. Everything about God is holy. There's nothing about God that can be improved. He is the pinnacle of all virtues. No one can be purer, more powerful, more righteous, more loving, and so on with all his virtues. That's why we worship God in the beauty of holiness. He also wants us to be holy, as he is. When God commands us, him who remembers our frame as but dust gives us the grace that enables us to obey. He never torments, frustrates, or plays games with us by giving us commands that are beyond our capacity to fulfill. Holiness is not wearing a long face and a halo hovering over our heads. There is a difference between being and behaving. Behavior is shaped by attitudes. Attitudes are molded by knowledge. Knowledge is obtained from the Word of God. We are to be holy starting from the inside, the inner posture of our heart towards God. Here are three ways where we can maintain and cultivate holiness. 1. Connection. We get connected first through the new birth when God becomes our Father, John 1:12. We become holy by virtue of that connection. Our identity has been changed upon salvation. Paul's epistles were addressed to holy men, see Ephesians 1:4, Colossians 3:12, 1 Thessalonians 5:27, Titus 1:8. These were normal human beings, church members, not people who put on long robes, wore useless fish head hats, and walked like they were walking on a cloud and wanted people to believe they were holy men. The Old Testament supports this as in Exodus 19:6, And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Because salvation needs to be maintained, our state of holiness needs maintenance, too. To stay holy, we need to stay connected. Just branches derive their life-giving nutrients from the vine, John 15:4-8. 2. Obedience. Our degree of holiness depends on how much we obey His Word and the Holy Spirit. As we see in Leviticus 27:8. Are there degrees of holiness? Yes. The temple construction indicates this. It has an outer court, inner court, holy place, and the Holy of Holies. Acts 5:32. The enabler of holy living is the Holy Spirit, and He is given to those who obey. Therefore, the more we obey, the holier we become. Obedience transforms. Our service to God results in the fruit of holiness, as we see in Romans 6:22. But now being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. 3. Separation. Let's look at what Leviticus 20:24-26 says. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast, or by fowl, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. The word sever here means separate, distinguish, differ, selected. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 makes his ownership over us clearer. Does God have the right to do whatever he wishes with his property? Moses was familiar with the territory, but the sight of the burning bush was amazing. What made the ground holy? God's declaration. Leviticus 10:10 is where we see God calling us special, being beyond usual. We see the same declarations in Deuteronomy 14:2, 26:18, Titus 2:14, 1 Peter 2:9. How do we distinguish between the common and ordinary? By God's voice through His Holy Spirit. Holiness sounds scary. It need not be, but to the average American, it is. Our tendency is to say that holiness is something for the cloistered halls of a monastery. It needs organ music, long prayers, and religious-sounding chants. It hardly seems appropriate for those in the real world of the 20th century. Author John White seems to agree with that as he wrote in The Fight the images that came to his mind when he thought about holiness. Thinness. Hollow-eyed godness. Sandals. Long robes. Stone cells. No sex. No jokes. Hair shirts. Frequent cold baths. Fasting. Hours of prayer. Wild rocky deserts. Getting up at 4 a.m. Clean fingernails. Stained glass. Self-humiliation. Is that the mental picture you have when you think of holiness? Most do. It's almost as though holiness is the private preserve of an austere group of monks, missionaries, mystics, and martyrs. But nothing could be farther from the truth. I couldn't be in greater agreement with Chuck Colson's statement in Loving God, holiness is the everyday business of every Christian. It evidences itself in the decisions we make and things we do, hour by hour, day by day. Source: Charles Swindoll's Favorite Stories and Illustrations. The ultimate goal of the call to holiness is Christ-likeness. Jesus' holiness attracted people to him as Moses was drawn to the burning bush. People will ask themselves, why is he different? What makes him tick? And as they examine you closely, may they see Christ in you. The beauty of Christ's holiness in you. 1 Peter 1:13-16. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. For I am holy. Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. What about you? Friend, are you severed from sin? Has sin no dominion over your life? Or, are you still groveling at the devil's feet, obeying his every command, unable to break free from bondage? What if you died tonight? Where do you think you will end up? You might think I'm trying to scare you, and you're right. Let fear be your friend today. Because if you are unsure of your eternal destiny, now is the time to make your life right with God. You see, all human beings, me included, are sinners. If you would honestly assess yourself right now, you probably have lied to someone. Or taken something that did not belong to you. You might have looked at someone with lust in your heart. Or hated someone and wishing him slash her evil. Or used God's name as a cuss word. If so, that makes you a lying thief, an adulterer, a murderer, and a blasphemer. I think you know where such kinds of people end up already. But God sent Jesus to earth on a rescue mission. That's what it says in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. All who turn to God in humble repentance, coming back to the Creator and ask for forgiveness, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who gave his life on the cross as payment for sin, who rose again the third day, ascended to heaven and is coming back to take all his believers with him to heaven, you can receive forgiveness for your sins and be restored into a relationship with God. All you need to do is repent, ask him to forgive you, and entrust your present and future to Jesus Christ. If you are sincere, the Bible says you are saved and made as new again. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Romans 10:9-11. You can stop being ashamed of what you've made out of your life. Guilt does not have to haunt you until your dying day. Accept the offer from Jesus and the receipt his gift of eternal life today. Hurry. This offer is good only until the rapture. If you've made a decision to believe in Jesus, let me know. I wish to help you grow in your new faith in the God of the Bible whose promises never fail. Are you blessed with this issue? Well, bless others with it, too. Click on the follow button for more issues like this. Until then, God bless you.